Hello, church family. Today, as we continue our devotional series in the Psalms, we will be taking a look at a portion out of Psalm 119, verses 169 to 176. It's the last eight verses out of Psalm 119, the last section and one of my favorite sections out of the Psalm. The author isn't stated, but owing to its style, Psalm 119 is normally attributed to David, so let's go ahead and read this section of it together. Psalm 119, verse 169 to 176. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. This section of the psalm contains so many of the elements which are themes seen throughout the psalms, like the word of God, prayers of praise and lament, and even alluding to the promise of the Messiah. So it has so many of these elements mixed together. There are also six unique references or words used to talk about the word of God. And each verse starts with some sort of prayer of lament or praise or supplication, followed by a reference to some aspect of the word of God, tying it back and relating it to the prayer which comes in the first part of the verse. So the prayer and the reference to God's word are linked in each verse. So let's take a look at these verses and then round up some main ideas that we can focus on. So in verses 169 to 173, we see they all start in the same way with the word May, as David brings several prayers to the Lord. In verse 169, we see his first prayer as he brings his cry before the Lord. And we see the earnestness with which he brings it. As he says, O Lord. Those are the words of a heart crying out to God. And in our times of need and confusion, we can often ask God to explain our situation. We want to understand why we are facing a particular difficulty to try and give it meaning. But here David asks for understanding according to God's word. He wants to understand God's will. If we even think of the Lord's Prayer, it says, Thy will be done. It's understanding the Lord's word and his will and purposes that give meaning and perspective to our lives, and which will give answer to the cries of our hearts. And he goes on in verse 170 to again bring his cry, his supplication, his request before the Lord. And this time he calls for the Lord to deliver him according to his promise. Again, a reference to God's word, which contains his great and unchanging promises. And that's what we are to do. We come to God and urge him with his own word, asking that he would fulfill his own promises. And we know he will do it. And perhaps here we may have a reference to the promise of the Messiah, the ultimate one who would deliver us. Verses 171 and 172 are prayers of praise. In verse 171, we see David asking that his lips would overflow with praise. And the lips overflow with praise with the overflow of the heart. So the heart must be full of the teachings of God's decrees, which is what David mentions in the second part of the verse. That's the basis of the praise, that God teaches his decrees, that God's word is the source of our joy and praise. Also, looking at it from another angle, God's word gives us practical instruction each day for the life of godliness. And so this also is a source of praise. And it is said of David, his lips would utter what his life had practiced. So may that be true of us. May we learn to sing by learning to obey. In verse 172, he says that as we consider God's commands as righteousness, as we meditate on the perfect righteousness of his word as the standard and the essence of righteousness, that our tongues would sing. So again, that out of hearts that are so mesmerized by God's word, we would overflow into songs of praise. Now in verse 173, he comes with an honest plea to his heavenly Father, like a child who is seeking to obey him. And he asks for the Lord's help, asking for his practical assistance. We should ask ourselves, is God our first call for help? Or do we first turn to people, or our own strength, or material objects? We need God's hand to be ready to help us, and it is. And the basis for his request is that he has chosen God's precepts. And we can do that. We can ask for God's helping hand when we have committed our own hand entirely to obedience. And notice also that although utterly and in all ways dependent on God for help, don't overlook the fact that the psalmist repeatedly commits himself and promises to take action to learn. So that's something we ought also to commit to. Next, in verse 174, he longs for the Lord's salvation. And perhaps again, a messianic reference to the ultimate salvation plan in Christ. And in the second part, he says God's law is his delight. Notice again the deep longing. See how engaged his emotions are here. And we have here sin-fighting power, that as we believe his promise, that as we delight in his law above everything else, we gain superior joy when confronted with the passing pleasures of sin. Obedience is good and sweet. We should savor it, dear friends. It is said, only when God's ways are sweet to the taste will sin turn sour in our souls. So delight in his law. Verse 175 is again a call to praise. In fact, he's saying that his whole purpose for being given life is that he may praise God. And his call for his life to be extended and spared is that his praise of God can be extended. An extended life of praise, sustained by God's laws and nourished by his word. And then my favorite verse, verse 176. This verse is so honest. He just shows himself so frail and weak before the Lord. And it reminds me of the prodigal son, like one who strayed but never forgot his father or his values. They were always there in his mind. And when we fail and stray, he is there as our loving father and shepherd. I heard once of a preacher who was stuck in sin, and he said he never stopped reading God's word. Despite his struggles and straying, he kept in the word. He didn't let go of that discipline. And ultimately, the Lord brought him back. And if this is where you find yourself, perhaps, don't let go. Don't let go of your Christian disciplines. And cry to God that he would seek you and restore you. I have not forgotten your commands. I still hold them dear, even though I've messed up, failed, sinned, and strayed again and again. And hear the exhortation of Revelation 3, verses 2 to 3. It says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. So inasmuch as we commit to it, we can be grateful that it is not dependent on us. It is a work of God as the good shepherd. So let's trust him to do it. So just a closing thought as we consider specifically our verses 171, 172, and 174 all talk about how God's word, which reveals his person, is a source of our joy and praise. Because we might ask, how can this be in our lives? Maybe it's a struggle. I think we must be reminded again that we must give his word our best time. If we give it our tired time, our rush time, our distracted time, our irritated and frustrated time, it stands to reason that our enjoyment will be diminished. Often we feel like we don't have the energy, and so we choose something else, something easier, something light-hearted, some sort of fleeting entertainment. But we must take that first step and choose the word. Even like we saw in verse 173, he said, I have chosen your precepts. We must give it our considered time to meditate and take in the learnings to be taught, like he said in verse 171. So as we carry it with us, we will see all the places throughout our day where we are reminded of it and it guides us. And we will be grateful, and that will spur us on to praise. And so we must pray that it would be so. David prays for it here repeatedly in this portion of the psalm. And we should too, and we should not pray lightly. We should pray for it earnestly and daily with longing. So let's come to the Lord in prayer as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, your word is exquisite because in it we see you. And we can see the beauty of infinite elegance. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that we can come to you in prayer and praise. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. Thank you that you are the great shepherd and you care for us and seek us out. Draw us to yourself, to your word, and to obedience, this day and always. Amen.